It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Millions of fans are expected to watch Major League Baseball's All-Star Game tomorrow, with some Milwaukee Brewers making the roster.
The Midsummer Classic features some of the league's top talent, and the break in regular games is a good time to take stock of how the season's going.
Which, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, is mostly pretty awesome.
The Brewers hit the All-Star break with a solid lead in the National League Central Division and the second-best record in all of Major League Baseball.
Though they had a roadblock in a series against the Pittsburgh Pirates with a 14-5 loss yesterday. Kurt Hoag covers the Brewers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kurt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, of course. How are you guys doing?
Good. Well, whatever grading system you want to use, Kurt, how would you grade the Brewers so far this year?
Oh, that's a good question. I would have said A+ going into the weekend.
Uh-oh.
And now I'll drop it to an A. If you're a tough grader, maybe an A-.
A pretty solid season so far. We'll take that asterisk of this last weekend in a minute. I want to dig into the secrets of the success so far. This is not a team that's belting home runs all over the place. On the offensive side, it seems like old-fashioned, get people on base and drive them in. Who is responsible for their success on the offensive side?
Well, that's a good question, because they have one all-star on the offensive side, but I wouldn't exactly say that William Contreras has been the key cog in the offense. It's a standard Brewers approach. There's, like you said, there's not a ton of slug here. Mm-hmm. Bryce Terang, if we're looking at, you know, who's been their best contributor offensively, Bryce Terang has kind of taken that leap into being a star in the league, even if he, you know, somehow wasn't named to the All-Star game. For the most part, they are doing the things that they have, you know, we're familiar with them doing for the last couple of years, where, except for of late, they hit well with runners on base, they hit well with runners in scoring position, they run the base as well, they don't strike out too much, and they kind of, you kind of aren't always sure how they're producing their runs, and then you look up and there they are toward, not at the top, but toward the top of the league leaderboards in terms of scoring and offense.
All right. Now, on the pitching side, if I was going to write a bad baseball movie, I'd invent a pitcher who kept throwing pitches over 100 miles an hour, had an earned run average in the 1.5, 1.6 range. Hold on. That's not fiction. Jacob Mizorowski. If people are going to jump on the bandwagon for the Brewers this year, it might be because of him. Tell us about his season so far.
Yeah, he's taken a huge leap. I've used a 6'7" or 6'8" frame to take some massive steps this year. This is a kid who, coming up in the Brewers system, there was a lot of hype around him, but there was just as many questions about whether or not he could throw enough strikes. I mean, even going to the postseason last year, he ended up being the Brewers' best pitcher in the playoffs, and arguably their, I don't even know if it's arguable that he was their best player in the playoffs. But going into that, a lot of people were questioning why he was even included on the playoff roster, because he would have these blow-up innings. There was all these questions about, like, does he have any consistency throwing strikes? Like, you're that big, your mechanics can be all over the place, just trying to sync everything up. And we haven't really seen many guys take a stride in terms of controlling the baseball the way he has this year. His walk rate has plummeted. He's still striking out the world, and you combine those two things and you throw 102, 103, it's going to lead to a lot of success. So I really have not seen many guys, if any guys, go from, you know, like, hey, is he going to be able to throw enough strikes to be a consistent starter? I mean, people were asking those questions coming into this season, to suddenly, oh, is he the best pitcher in baseball? Player development happens all the time. Like, guys improve, but guys don't improve like this that fast. And he's done that that's catapulted him into arguably being the best pitcher in baseball right now.
And the big question there is, if you're throwing that fast, that consistently, can you keep it up? Some concerns held out of the Pirates series. He made the All-Star team. Not, I understand, going to pitch tomorrow. What are we watching for as far as whether he can keep that up?
Yeah. I mean, look, with any pitcher, you have health concerns. But when you have a guy who is this critical to your success. Like, if the Brewers are going to, you know, win the World Series this year, go to the World Series this year, it's not going to happen if this guy isn't healthy and pitching really well. That is the number one ingredient for their playoff success, just because they have a ceiling raiser of this capacity. So every, you know, you're always worried about starting pitching health. But obviously when you have a guy that throws this hard, and it's not just that, his workload has increased. I think his career high in innings, including the playoffs, was last year about 140. He's over 110 already this year. An increase is expected, but the Brewers are going to have to, and are going to monitor his innings closely. We'll probably see maybe some more starts skipped in the second half. We'll see some shorter outings probably here and there, just to keep him as fresh as possible for the postseason. The injury, the Brewers don't sound concerned about it. Mizorowski doesn't sound concerned. It's more so, I think, a way to get him – manage his innings, get him a little bit of a breather with the All-Star break coming up.
We're talking about the Milwaukee Brewers at the All-Star break. They are doing well, first place, second best record in all of the land. We're hearing how they're performing and how they're doing it. Kurt Hoge is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kurt, this Pirates series, the Brewers stumbled. You said there's one obvious takeaway here, not just Mizorowski, other starting pitchers facing some injury troubles. Depth at that starting pitcher position. Do you expect to see the Brewers try to bring in some more talent?
I do. I do expect to see them bring in some sort of pitching help. I think the bullpen is for sure where we'll see some help. The starting pitching is sort of the question, because in my mind, right, they have Mizorowski. Kyle Harrison has pitched great. There's a little bit of a, you know, he's dealing with a little bit of an elbow forearm thing right now that's going to hold him out a couple weeks. But if he's back and he's healthy, then you have the 1-2 punch. The questions are, A, after that, do you have enough? The Brewers have enough starting pitching depth to get through the regular season for sure. They've amassed some, you know, some really quality young pitching depth. But that is different than playoff starting pitching depth. And with Brandon Woodruff hurt, and, you know, you have no idea if he's going to be available in the postseason, it just does not feel like they have enough starting pitching to go as far as they want to go. That seems apparent. And then it's a question of number two, like, do you pay the price? Because the price isn't going to be cheap. And if you look at the Brewers, their process, right, their process has not been to pay exorbitant prices, not just in terms of free agent money, but prospect capital. And it's going to cost some prospect capital in order to acquire a real impact starter at this year's deadline. When you just look at the, you know, the sheer number of teams that are in the race, and the lack of teams that are, you know, actually going to be wanting to sell off their players. So it's going to be interesting to see how that balance plays out, because this team does have a chance. And I feel like, especially after what we learned last year, like, they need some more pitching. They need some more top end starting pitching to go as far as they want to, but I don't know. Their process has been pretty effective to this point. Do they deviate from it and pay a little more prospect capital? I don't know. We'll see.
And you mentioned the payroll. I'm glad you did. I'm the kind of nerd who has the salary payroll tracker up in front of me. One team with a better record in baseball, the Dodgers, their strategy is to spend money and then spend more money and then spend some more money. The Brewers, 20th, depending on how you slice it, in payroll. This is a team that's done very well being efficient with how they use their resources. What's behind that?
The front office. I mean, the Brewers front office has really created sort of this monster, this machine that they scout well, they identify trade targets well, they acquire trade targets without, you know, giving up all that much in deals. They seem very, I guess, prudent might be the word. Like, they make prudent deals. And you stack those up over time, and then suddenly, you know, like, think about it. You could have traded Jacob Mizorowski at the deadline two, three years ago, gotten a short-term rental that could have possibly increased your chances. But the reality of those situations, right, is I think the Brewers understand that there are certain moves that are not worth it for them long term. And I know there was plenty of debate about you know, their payroll and whether they should go, you know, quote unquote, all in this year or last year or next year. But quite clearly, they're winning games at a consistent clip and getting themselves a shot in the postseason. And so that prudency that I'm talking about, like, they just kind of stick with their plan and they stick with it seemingly a lot better than other teams. And then you add in that's been pretty successful with scouting and developing their own players. And you look up and here they are every year.
This could be the year. There's I've seen like a 1 in 5 chances that they make the World Series, again, depending on whose odds you look at. Crystal ball, given the question marks at that starting pitching position, crystal ball for you, Kurt, where do you see the Brewers maxing out this year in the postseason?
Yeah, that's that's tricky because I wish there was a crystal ball for this game, this weird game of baseball.
That is why they play the games, yeah.
here's how I kind of view it. Was we got 2 months left. We're at this point, right, where we don't wonder if the Brewers are making the playoffs anymore. It's kind of a, given the, you know, the history of the franchise, you kind of take a step back and realize how unusual that is, that, you know, basically since like the beginning of June, we're talking about the playoffs and not simply getting to the playoffs. Now they still, you know, do some work to get there, but I think we'd all be surprised if they didn't. Here's how I kind of view it. If the Brewers are able to land a first round bye, I see no reason that they wouldn't be the best team aside from the Dodgers. I think they would match up fine with the Braves. They would match up fine with the Phillies. You know, maybe some wild cards can sneak in there too, and anything obviously can happen in baseball. But if there's a world in which perhaps someone else takes care of the Dodgers, because like we said, things happen in baseball, I would see no reason to think that the Brewers wouldn't have a very good shot of advancing through the National League. But then again, like, there's an element of I'll believe it when I see it.
And we'll leave it there. That's Kurt Hoeg. He covers the Brewers from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.